garden sermons this last weekend. Remember that garden, Body Christ, the local assembly, and then your own personal garden? And to think about that garden, do you realize, and I know you do, but we talk about it, it's a good opening here anyway, that seed is planted down in the dirt. You know? And a lot of Christians don't like to be down in that dirt. And they get that impression, I'm going to stay out of that dirt and I'm going to grow. And as hard as that is, we're supposed to be in the world. We're supposed to be out there doing our thing. But that seed is down in that dirt, and the water that gets down to that seed goes through that dirt, gets into that seed. And all the growing that takes place where? Within that seed. Now, what we see on the outside is happening from the inside of that plant, right? And you look at your garden out there, and sometimes you see some good looking greens. Is that what you call them? Greens, you know? And some of those good looking greens still don't produce a fruit. And yet you got some of those ugly looking greens out there. They got little worm junks on them, you know, and bites and all that stuff. And their leaves look like they got paraplegia or something, you know. And some of those little critters can put out some fruit. I'm not my gardening expert here, so if this isn't right, tell me later, because it ruined my sermon. That's just like us Christians. We're in the dirt, whether we want to admit it or not. We're in the dirt, and that dirt is getting sludgier and mudgier and muckier and mirier. But God's water, God's rain, the Word of God can get down through that dirt and still get into us, and we can still grow. That's not a difficult thing, but gardeners can't be happy there. They've got to be realizing that garden takes on an appearance. I walk out there in the last couple of days, I haven't been doing my weeding. Just haven't had time or the desire or whatever. And it's taken on a little bit of an odd look, but I guess compared to a North Carolina garden, it's pretty good. I mean, our beans, you say, are pretty spectacular. You have to dust your beans all the time. Man, out here we have a harder time dusting our houses, let alone our beans with the dirt we got blown around here. I'd like to think that the garden that's out there is a halfway decent looking garden. I mean, I'm not a Martha Stewart, praise the Lord, you know, she's in big trouble. I think it's kind of funny. I do. I'm anxious to see how she decorates her cell. You know, I can see the Kmart ads, you know, with the inside the cell here. And is your house like a prison? You know, come to Kmart and color up your prison. Then you got those gardeners that don't really care what their garden looks like, and they hope the fruit comes out, and they'll be happy with whatever they get. And, you know, in some lots of cases, there's some good fruit there. Like, I'm going to have more tomatoes than I know what to do with, and Sue's had more tomatoes than she's ever known what to do with. And you keep bringing all those tomatoes. You know, we're going to have more tomatoes here next this fall than we all know what to do with. How many are growing tomatoes? We need to just have a tomato throw. No, throw. Those tomatoes are fun to just, you know, you can get hit by the tomato, not a big deal. And yet, when you take your kids downtown, you don't take your kids to a gungy park full of weeds and bugs and stuff. You expect the town to have a nice-looking park. Now, you don't mind taking the kids out to the country, no problem, but you still don't go find out some weed-infested, junk-infested, bug-infested, snake-infested, unless you're David. You know, you don't go to those places. You want to go to a clean park. A nice park, a nice place to go. Most of you. You know? That attractive garden, if it's an attractive looking garden, is probably going to put out some good fruit. It's going to have some greens that don't produce. That's understandable. But what's going on is going on inside those plants. There's nothing you can do about that. You water, you weed, all that is outside activity. What goes on inside those plants, we know, is of God. I mean, he can take my beans and he can just suck the life out of those things anytime he wants. So even though I like to think I'm a fairly decent gardener, I know God is still behind all that stuff. I'm not that evolutional to think that look at my garden. That's his garden still. And yet that garden is a testimony to the gardener. It is. You go to some of these gardens in town, and the one by Bi-Mart, that little house by Bi-Mart, the old Bi-Mart out by Safeway. I've been wanting to find that person, whoever that is, out in the yard. I've been wanting to do this for a couple of years. And tell them, I got to tell you, ma'am, sir, whatever, that is a neat yard you've got there. Just always impressed with that thing. Never find them out there. But it's a testimony to whoever that is that's living in there. It's a testimony to the tools they use. It is. You got to have the right tools. I've been here. here long enough to know what it's like to use some right tools every once in a while. You know, you guys teach me how to use these things, you know, and all that. I don't know how my tool department was this last week while I was painting. How'd I do, Thomas? I used the right tools for everything, didn't I? I think I did. No, I did try to put that screw in with a hammer and screwdriver. Remember that one? It was going in like this, you couldn't get out, so I figured a good hammer and screwdriver, you'd get that screw in still. Remember that? That was one time I abused my tools as such. It's a testimony of the kind of water you put on your garden. That's why some of our trees, and I can't help it, folks, that's why some of your trees and plants and stuff, the leaves look white. Just because of the water we put on them. That's why this rain is so neat. Rain does not leave our plants white. It's that, there's a sermon in there too. We won't go down that one. And then we got the fruit of that garden. It's a testimony. It's a testimony. By just looking at that garden. You with me? You see what I'm saying this morning? We know Christ, we know God gives the increase. We know that it's because of Him. All what's on the inside. I don't have a problem with that. Not at all. The Word of God is prevailing more and more in our lives. It is. And whether you think so or not, it totally is. Let's look one more time at these gardens real quick like this morning. It's good stuff. Now, we have not arrived yet. The body of Christ has not arrived yet. It will someday. Now, as far as the Lord is concerned, the body of Christ is already done to Him. But we've got to get up there yet and be with Him and be Him. Amen, as such. But still, here, our little efforts here regarding the universal, the invisible, the body of Christ that's out there, near as I could count, you know, I probably forgot some guys. We've had well over 30 missionaries here since I've been here anyway. And I think 28 of them came this summer. and probably more than that. But that's a lot of missionaries. That's a lot of people. We've tried to be an encouragement to get out there away from America. A couple of them are missionaries in America, actually. Crutchfield. Gibbs, who take us crowd. We do financially support six. And you've been able to give some of those others a good chunk of money every once in a while. You know, we're working with that body of Christ that's out there. That's all right. That's a good thing. We will have Jewish support going out here pretty soon. I'll tell you about him later. That didn't take long. I'll tell you about him some other time here. We've got a website that's providing food and fellowship. I've been able to send Romans and Acts that we do as men here. Romans and Acts and a bunch of his other stuff to people all over the world. So we are not oblivious or helpless to the body of Christ in the world now these days. Isn't that a marvelous thing? You know, when we were kids, how old are you? Are you really? Wow. How old are you? That's right. I want to ask you. I've been through that a couple of weeks ago. The ladies don't want to tell me that stuff. When we were kids, you just send them a box and they get it in a couple months. But we can talk to them every day. So that body of Christ that's out there is a marvelous thing. Now, and in fact, in the last week or so, I've even heard that some of you are jumping into reading those letters about those missionaries back there. And I'll tell you later how to handle that pile of letters back there, because it could be pretty confusing. But it doesn't help when you make it more confusing, you know. Those are the individual letters we have for everybody. You don't take one home, and when you're done, throw them away. You know. They're just there for you to read. Bring them back, please, for somebody else to read. Now, let's look at our local assembly. I mean, we've grown on the inside greatly. I honestly believe there's less judging of each other. Romans chapter 14 will deal with that even in our Bible studies this week. That's a good thing. There's been, as it says in Timothy and Thessalonians, an abundant growth in charity and grace. Paul's talking about that. And I think that's true here. How do I think that's true? You're still here. And I know that each one of you kind of each other, where you wouldn't have been here if it wasn't for the Lord anymore. So we're growing in that department, and that's good, and there's always be room to grow. Patience and faith we grow in. We're on a roll right now with physical projects. Man, I mean, yesterday we had people in the kitchen. We had people in here painting and almost falling out the window, all that kind of stuff, and a guy outside doing his thing, and the yard's been working hard this last couple of weeks. You were here the other day, the kitchen's doing the gardens and stuff out there. I mean, they took the dirt and re-dirted it. You ever re-dirt dirt? You take out the bad dirt and leave the good dirt. I mean, that's pretty neat stuff, you know. Still dirt, though. We got the fair coming up. And I'm already comfortable with who's going to be working at the fair. You've all expressed desire to somehow get involved in that fair thing. And that's an exciting thing. I've been able to talk to people about the fact that we are a family. And you're seeing the fact that you're family. And there's so many people that I talk with out there that do not have a church family, even though they go to church. You really are family. And we all know that families don't always get along, but they're still family. And I hate, what other word to use? Not proud, but I'm joyful when I can tell people that, yes, with all the problems, we're a family here at Tuesday Baptist Church. I mean, that's a neat thing. I remember when I first came here and went back home to South Dakota. After you guys said, yeah, come on back. We'll let you for a while anyway. We'll test you out. And come on back. And I remember being down in South Dakota. The moment you said, go ahead and stay and be the pastor, I felt like I was leaving my family. Way back then. Didn't even know you. And I just said, Marilyn, we got this house, we got to sell. But in the meantime, you and Becky get this thing worked out. I got to get up there. This is family. We got family now. That's a wild thing. So our local assembly has grown on the inside immensely. Now, how about your personal garden? We've been over that a little bit here. Personal, private. You and the Lord have faith, have it with God. Between you and God. I got a long list of things here. This was fun to sit down and write up here. Many of you folks are seeing deep things of God. You're seeing them. You know? Spiritual circumcision. All the shuns, et cetera, et cetera. If that window curtain's flapping is going to distract you back there, go ahead and shut the window because we got the air rolling. I want you to hear today. Some of you folks, you can actually rightly divide your Bible. You couldn't do that years ago. That's God showing you the inside track. You understand the attack on the book. You understand the history of that Bible. You're getting some personal victories. You're developing an understanding of them out there. You're starting to understand why your family doesn't like you. You're understanding why your family doesn't want to come and see you. You're understanding why when you spend $1 million to go down and see them, they still don't want to talk to you. You know? It isn't you. It's the book. You're seeing that stuff. Every day you see it closer. You've learned some stuff about religions and cults, especially the Seventh-day Adventists. You could actually show them some things that they'd never ask you. You know? You're learning about some recent Baptist faltering. You're learning that stuff. You know? You've learned some stuff about evolution. I would say you've heard a lot of stuff about evolution. Don't you wish you knew what you watched in the videos about evolution? Don't you wish you knew that stuff? That stuff was 100% debunkable to anybody out there. You could destroy anybody's evolution thoughts if you just knew what Hovind knew. But at least you've heard it at this point. I know some of you folks have developed more confidence in your praying, in your witnessing. You've got more assurance about stuff. Your eternal security is stronger than it's ever been. Some of you folks are showing peace and joy. You're not perplexed anymore. You're not even in despair. You're not troubled. You're not distressed. You're not forsaken. You're not destroyed. But you do know some folks who are destroyed that used to go here. That's a sad thing. We're not immune to be destroyed. You folks are still destroyable. Not your soul, but you are still destroyable. There's a good chance that after this sermon even, some folks will be destroyed. There's always that chance. If I do the sermon I'm supposed to do. Some of you folks are actually reading your Bible every day. Some of you folks are studying your Bible. Dispensations mean things to you folks now. You're not ignorant of Satan's devices. You're not so ignorant of blindness of Israel. You're not so ignorant of God's righteousness. You're not so ignorant of the rapture. You're not so ignorant of what's coming up after the rapture. Man, the insides are growing. That water has been producing some marvelous plants. And I know quite often you don't think so. That's probably my fault, but there's a lot of times I don't think I am either. You can get that way. And we can't let us get that way. As a church. You can't. Thank you. You've been through a verse by verse thereabouts, a generalized study of Exodus, Colossians. You've been through all the doctrines, Song of Solomon, Jeremiah. Some of you on the second round on that one. Romans, Psalms. Some of you nursing home folks have been to hear some things about Psalms that you never have heard before in your ever life. And now that Psalms is a whole different book when you read it. Totally different book when you read it. And we've been through Nehemiah a long time ago. We ought to know how to build a wall in our homes. Seems like maybe Nehemiah might need to be brought up again. We're understanding the enemy more. We're understanding some things. It's like our battle zone is getting smaller. Like we need to rebuild. The first one didn't make it. The second one, boy, we almost made it. Boy, better hurry up and get that third one built because that one's going to crumble pretty soon. But Nehemiah is in the building walls. The book of Revelation, you've dealt with family order in the home. You've dealt with biblical discipline with your children more. It's more than just spanking, like most Baptists seem to think that's all you do with your children. You've learned the difficulty and the seriousness of child training. You've been helped with educational situations. You know what's going on in the educational world. It's going to damn the children out there, and it's going to ruin your children if you don't do something about it. It just is. This isn't 50 years ago where you hope your kids can make it. They're in with hungry wolves just now, right now. That's all right. Just hear me out this morning. Take your Bible this morning. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm not concerned about that stuff. We're done with that. I'm not going to say we're done with that. It's just the emphasis is gone. I am convinced God has given us a hugely another direction here at this church. It flabbergasted me. I wasn't even all that. I mean, I was excited up to this morning. I was really excited. I have no problem with it. But like I said to the men, I was fearful of it. I was fearful of it. Until Brother Mike gave that Sunday school lesson. Mike had no idea what we're talking about here coming up. None. Which we haven't talked. Just none. Just none. And he stands there, teaches that lesson that hits everybody from him on down. And I just looked over at Thomas because he and I have talked a little bit. And I said, man, alive. This is unreal. And we've seen it happen before with Sunday school. Lots of times, Brother Mike's Sunday school lessons are just marvelous introductions for the sermon. I just sit back here and go, phew, this is unreal. That happened so much. Chances are, if that wouldn't have happened at all in the 6 years I've been here, I probably would be gone by now. You probably would have got rid of me, or I would have just left anyway, because it's like you don't see God working. I've never seen him so strong as these last couple days and today. And when he was done with that thing, I just wanted to jump up and go, let's just rapture now, because you must be, let's just get out of here. I can't even deal with this stuff, you know. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. And I guess I don't need to watch because this message has to be delivered, so whatever is whatever. It's not going to be like the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, 1 till 1:30. Don't panic about that. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. What we're going to start looking at is we're going to start looking at the outside of our church. Oh man, I thought you had me. No, we've been looking at on the outside of you. I've been preaching for 5-6 years. Or whatever, on you, on your outside. Because the inside is going to make the outside, right? Took me a while to realize that. I thought you just get up here, you told people what's right and wrong in their families and their lives, and they're going to go, oh, I didn't know that. It's in the Bible. We'll do it. Thank you very much, Pastor. We love you. That didn't happen. I presented some of this stuff, and it was like, is it how I said it? Is it what I said? And I kept getting things like, well, now don't, how'd you say that? Don't give yourself so much credit. You know, you didn't make him mad. Well, man, I sure thought I did. You know, I know it's the Bible and all that stuff. That stuff just wasn't all that happily received. Then I come to realize as God's working on me, it's got to come from inside. It's got to come from inside, Paul. It's got to come from inside. Get him into that Bible and it'll come out. So we get into our Bibles. Remember a million word read and all that stuff? Getting y'all to we coined that million something or other before Farrakhan or whatever that guy's name is. Farrakhan. You know, the million thing. I know you're impressed with that. We're a trend-setting church. Farrakhan must have read that on the website. Didn't have a website in those days. I had friends back in those days, too. I wonder. You know, I knew people back in those days. Nope. Over those years, we preached the inside, and your outside are changing. All that stuff I read to you? Now, don't be sitting here worried about what we're getting into. Remember what I just showed you. I just preached to you about the body of Christ out there. We're actively involved in the outside universal body of Christ. We are involved with them. That ought to be exciting to you. We are growing as on the inside as a local family, right? on the inside, you've been some roads, boys. You have been down some good roads. And some of that stuff is actually sticking. I hope you really believe that. Because if you don't, the rest is going to be hurtful this morning. Because see, now that we've got that stuff down, hardly. But we still got to get that stuff preached from the inside out. But with all that stuff that we got under our garden belts, it's time. God says, now, preacher, pastor, guy, let's start looking at that church family you've got, and let's look on the outside and see what other people see. Who cares what other people see? God cares what other people see. God cares what other people see in you. Because if they don't see Him, He's shamed. Because we claim Him. So if we claim Him, they ought to see Him. They don't need to just hear about Him with our sermons and our testimonies and our tracts and stuff. They need to see Him. Your mother, your father, your relatives, your friends, your workers, they don't need to just hear about the Lord. They need to see Him. God says, work on the outside now. Oh, Lord, that outside is hard. There's controversy in that. There's controversy in that. Our testimony is the Lord. So is theirs. And those churches out there, they say people see God in them. They do say that, you know. Just happens to be they're very true. Just happens to be that God people see in them isn't God. It's the world God. It's the finance God. It's the money God. It's the appearance God. It's the entertainment God. It's the fun God. That's the God people see when they look at those other churches. What do they see when they look at you? See? That's the question God's putting to me. What's He seeing? I'm as guilty as you are, I think, in some cases, some more so than others. That doesn't matter. I pray that this morning this sermon is a sermon that's given without respect of persons. From the left pew to the right pew to the back pew to the front pew. But there are times that I take the outside too lightly. There's been times you've taken the outside too lightly. There's been times that we mock the outside because we know we're clean on the inside. I'm guilty. Shamefully so. During these 6 years of me learning and you learning all the obstacles and the squabbles and the difficulties and the discouragements, I got a discouragement right now that left back pew right there is empty this morning. That's discouraging to me. Amongst all that discouragement, I give up on the outside. Because I know I'm clean on the inside. Whatever. You ever been there? Whatever. You know? All those challenges with David over the internet. That can be discouraging to see your kids going through the spiritual battles because you don't know if he's going to win. Hard on you. Now, I have to admit, as I told Thomas, that sapped a lot of juice out of me for a long time here. You got kids that are like that? So we're getting back to this local church thing here. And he says, I want you, preacher, pastor, I want you to start preaching to these people about the path, the outside, how they're looking as they're going down a path as a Christian Bible-believing church here. What, are you going Baptist on me now, preacher? You know what, I think a lot of this Baptist stuff floating around anyway. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there that's shaming the Lord under the name of Baptist church. You know, we have a tendency to claim that thing in Corinthians, outward appearance. Well, God doesn't look on the outward appearance. Yes, he does. That Bible is full of things he tells us to do that somebody else will see on the outside. Nobody looks at you and sees imputation. You know how many Baptist Bible-believing people don't even know about imputation? See? So, there is something to that appearance. It just has to be real. And I want it to be real. I'm glad God got me off that outward thing and got going on that inside stuff. But I do believe that it's time for that inside stuff. I think it's time for that little tomato to start blossoming a little bit. Or corn, whatever you are. rutabaga. Rutabaga. No, rutabaga is a disease, isn't it? Rutabaga is a... Rutabaga. Okay. Some of you are probably squash. I'll tell you what kind of fruit. One fruit I don't want to be. Anyway. But they're becoming that way. All right, let's go then. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Let's start verse 11. Verse 11. Now, if you're running out of gas and stuff, stand up and walk to the back and take a breathe, big breath or something. Come on back down and sit down. We're going through this whole thing this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. You've been doing that. You're growing. For the edifying of the body of Christ. That's the third part of that thing. You've been doing that. You see that this morning? Look at that middle one. For the work of the ministry. God wants us to work on the work of the ministry. As a church. As a church. Not as Louis and Jerry and Marcy and Marilyn and Catherine. Not for you individually. Not the work of you, but the work of the, work for the work of the ministry. We all got ministries. I'm concerned about what we're doing as a church. Here we go. Bunch of rules and regulations, Pastor. We're all going to have to wear ties and stuff. You know me better than that. You know. I hope you know me better than that. But then again, you know. Purposes of our church assembly here this morning. Listen up to these real quick. We won't go to the scriptures as such. You probably know them. Perfecting of the saints. That's what this is here to perfect the saints. We're here to learn. Edify the body of Christ. It's a place in Corinthians. It's a place for preaching. 1 Corinthians 1, 18 and 21. It's a place for exhorting one another. Hebrews 10. It's a place to be used of God for preserving His words. There's no better ministry than God to use us to tell that next generation that this is the Word of God. I can't think of anything better. You get somebody saved, To give somebody that King James Bible for them to believe that, they will get saved, they will walk right, and they'll have a whole different life. It's a place to be used for God preserving His words. It's a place to make others jealous of God's blessing. They're supposed to look at this church and think, man, my church doesn't do that. My church doesn't go there. My church doesn't know that. Boy, I want to go there. That's supposed to be one of our goals. Old-fashioned music. Boy, my church sings the modern stuff. There's, you know, I've always been wondering about that. There's something wrong there. Let's go check out that Touche Baptist church and sing some of that old stuff. And they get preached that while they're singing. You know, anyway. All these are so many more sermons. It's a place of encouragement and comforting. It's a place to be taught. It's a place, according to Timothy, to be nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. It's a healthy place to come. Isn't that surprising? Some of you have gone home sick from here. Like I do when I go see the doctor. I come out of there feeling a whole lot worse than when I went in. But he did right. That's what he tells me. It's a place to show the truth and reality of the Bible. It's a place that is very similar, if not an exact copy of what you can get out of that Bible. What you can get out of that Bible, you ought to be able to get out of this church family too. You know what the problem out there is? That's all people want to get out of the church family. It's what they're supposed to get out of their Bible. So then you got these churches that the church has been lifted and glorified and it's the place to go. In the meantime, the Bible means nothing to those people. That's the wrong balance. Then you got the people that got the Bible only. They get into that Bible, that's all they do, and they're lousy church members. That's out of balance too. We're supposed to get out of that Bible. What we get out of here, we're supposed to get out of here when we get out of that Bible. We are inseparable. That's the way this family ought to be. It's the way it ought to be. It's a place to get the benefits of the Bible, and it's a place to be an example of the real body of Christ. This thing is patterned after the body of Christ. Members, I won't go down. You see that? All sorts of purposes. There's probably more than that, but I'm just not going to sweat it as such here. Go to Galatians chapter 5, if you would, just back a page or two. We're talking about the outside of our church family. What do people see in us as a church family? Brother Mike was talking this morning in Sunday school. I even have my notes for that thing here. Bring them, win them to yourself. Lend to him. That's a good comment. He says, they hear. And I wrote down here, they also got to see. You want to bring people to yourself? You want to bring people to this church? You can tell them all you want, but they got to see something. Unfortunately, they have to see something. Because nowadays people want to see to believe. It still isn't going to work. They still got to get into that Lord. It's between him and the Lord. But they still got to see something there. They got to see something there. If people just hear it from us, they think that we must be better than they are. But if they see it, they'll see something different. Then you show them the scriptures. Why are you the way you are? My Bible. You know. That was so good this morning. Oh, man. Walk the walk. And I'm sitting there thinking, now you got me doing, I'm sitting there thinking, that's exactly what we're preaching on today. And I know some of you folks are burdened with the fact that, Pastor, that's just, it's impossible. No, it's not impossible. You know who it's impossible for? It's impossible for you and me. It is impossible for us to do this. You getting that this morning? It's not impossible for him. Galatians 2:20. Go to Galatians 2:20. Yeah, it is impossible for me to be the pastor I need to be. It's impossible for me to be the Christian I'm supposed to be, but it's not impossible for him. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. If it's not getting done, you know why it's not getting done in your personal private life? It's because you're trying to do it. And that's where that works outside thing crumbles. That's when it becomes bondage. That's when it makes you miserable. That's when it makes you just the most unhappy Christian in the world when you're trying to do it and it's supposed to be God. Well, how does God do it? Get in your Bible. I don't know what else to tell you today. You got to be in that book. You've got to be in that book. And not only be in that book, you've got to be engulfed by the Lord while you're reading that book. Thomas was telling me about some people out east, college guys, Presbyterian guy, whatever, Holloman or whatever the guy's name, that's the Opus guy. One of these professor guys, whoever that is, knows his Bible up and down, inside and out. He's got that thing down so well, he's a lost Presbyterian. Something's missing there. Well, see, you claim that missing in your life. So you get in that Bible, that is you and him. Have faith in God. It's you and him. It's his faith. It's you. You're together. And if you can get that kind of relationship with the Lord through that Bible, it'll start working. Or else God's a liar. Because he tells us he's the one doing it. Now the stuff we're going to go through here this morning here in a couple minutes, oh boy, I tell you, oh Pastor, you're getting on me. No, that's just the Lord telling you. It's about time you get this. Now let's get this together. Let me give you the victory, and that's the outside. Your inside's already done. I'm losing you. Okay, let's get into this stuff here. You know, we look out there in those other churches. What do we see? What are you seeing today? You look out there. You've never been to Benny Hinn's stuff and studied his doctrine. You just know by looking at Benny Hinn, something's wrong here. You're not stupid. Look at all the thousands of people that look at Benny Hinn and don't know that. You want me to start doing that? Goldie, put your foot up here. I'm going to take care of that thing. Heel. You know. Now walk out of here, Goldie. Okay. You know. We could really impress some people. We could put on a pretty good show on the outside. That's not what I'm after. You look out there, you see churches that are breaking. You know the phrase, if it isn't broken, don't fix it? Churches out there are broken. Sunday schools out there are broken. Ministries are broken out there. Christians are breaking all over America. Church trend. The trend for churches in America is to get larger. We're going mega. Because we all know gain is godliness. You know, you don't know that, right? Okay, you know that's not true. makes me nervous sometimes. And you're sitting there thinking, oh, is it amen? All right. No, it's not. That's what they think. Action. The trend is action. The trend is fun. The trend is bring in big names. The trend is seminars, conferences, shows. They want you to have an experience. King James Bible-believing people are going Pentecostal. They want you to come to their place and whoop, whoop, de doop, and get out of there, and just in 1/2 a day or whatever, you're back to your normal worthless self. Been there. Okay. Can these churches be fixed? Can these Sunday schools out in America be fixed today? Can these ministries be fixed? Can these Christians that are breaking, can they quit breaking? Let me ask you this. Should they be fixed? Should those ministries be fixed that are messing up out there? Should those Sunday schools be straightened out? I mean, we're in a rut. We've been doing Sunday schools and ministries like this for years in America. Does that make it right? Are you willing to look at something to see if it's broken? Hello? If your pastor looks at this church, and if your pastor looks at our Sunday school, and if this pastor looks at us in our ministries, and he determines that they're broken, are you willing to let me fix them? Attempt to fix them? Try that again. Well, preacher, only if I think the way it's broken is what you think the way it's broken. The way you fix it, the way I want you to think it ought to be fixed. Yeah, go ahead. That's not like a husband-wife discussion. Well, now, honey, what am I doing wrong? Well, okay, here's what you're doing wrong. Honey, let me get right. Okay, here's how you need to get right. You can get right if it's according to her terms. That's not getting right. She can get right according to your terms. That's not getting right. That's just probably delaying an argument for a couple days. The Lord's coming. So why are you making such a big thing about this church? The Lord's going to be here any day. And besides that, Pastor, we've got everything cleaned up on the inside. Man, back off that outside stuff. You're just going to make people mad. They're not going to be able to do it. That's right. You're not going to be able to do it. God will be able to do it. Okay. This is all introduction. How are we doing? Plenty of time. Want a drink? I do. This makes me feel real guilty when I do this. Man, that is some good stuff. So what do we show people on the outside? What is Touche Baptist Church? Bible Believer Baptist Church. Bible Believers Baptist Church. Touche Bible Believer Baptist Church. Whatever we are, what do they see in us? When they look out at our outside, what do they see? Well, they see a nice looking yard, I think. They're going to see a brand new looking building in. Well, this side's going to be brand new looking anyway. You know, 100-year-old building. Better shape than many new buildings, by the way. They see people cleaning. They see a clean building. Praise the Lord, 2 years after Nancy's fired, this place is still clean. That's a big testimony. You know, there's churches out there that are not clean. And have you ever been to a Bible-believing church in those old buildings that are probably almost as old as ours? You ever been to a church like that? You ever been to Jesus' old church when he had it down there? Anybody been there before I say this? Junk. That building didn't have many more years to go. You know, you get out of that kitchen and the counter's got great for Hot Wheels. The counter, kitchen counter's like this, you know. And there's places to hide things underneath the countertops in these places. We don't have that here, you know. You've been to those kind of buildings, you know. I always like to get Marcy relaxed. That's good. Amen. Sorry. You know, you church folks, you bought things that you didn't buy for yourself. You put that money in the plate and things have been purchased here. Office materials. Office materials. What does he need office materials for? You pay for that stuff. You really do. Missionary room. That missionary room has been used a lot this summer. Some of you folks have contributed financially. Some of you folks went on and bought stuff yourself for stuff around here. Just yourself paid for it. And that's marvelous stuff. People see that on the outside. They really do. They really do. That ramp and all that stuff, you know. The roses, the flowers. the guy out there at 2 in the morning with a flashlight and a bug sprayer, you know. Last night, what time was it? It was like 1 o'clock or something. And I go, I do a bug check. I go out there and check out the corn. There's all these little critters all over that corn. I couldn't believe it. Oh, man. My church has been invaded. My Pentecostals, you know. So I go back in the place. I get the little sprayer. Go out there and I'm spraying. I got the flashlight holding the sprayer in one hand. And I'm checking the roses because they got a few. Some of them scattered over to the roses too. You know, teenagers, I suppose, you know. Weren't happy with the corn they were given. They had to go over the roses, I guess. I don't know, teenagers are. And I'm out there, and three or four cars went by here. And I was wondering, what do these guys think? They're coming back from either being drunk or from work or something. And here's this church that they've heard a lot of things about, you know. And here's this guy, gun 357 handle sticking out of the back pocket case, you know. I'm out there with a flashlight, looking up close to when the one car, I'm looking at this one rose like this, because there's an earwig down in there, you know. You sure you want to come out west, Thomas? I mean, this is a strange place, you know. And then, reminds me of that guy on acnophobia. What's that spider one there? Arachnophobia, there you go. You know, and praise the Lord, I didn't look like him. I lost 10 pounds in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Amen. What are you up to? Down to? Tell us, Mike. How many have you lost? So between Mike and Mike, we've lost 73 pounds. Makes me a whole lot happier to say it that way, you know. Phil, how many? Phil, how much money have you made? $1. Well, you know, whatever, you know. Hey, it's better than paying in. So 73, 88. Anybody else lost any? Do we make it 100 or even 100? How many have you lost? Oh, man, somebody else. Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah, there's always one bug in the pot. Anyway. Well, when people look at this church building, this is what they see. And I see people coming here. I see cars parked out there. And they see some cars parked out there. They don't know these cars from years ago, but they know who they are. And they see some of you folks still coming here. That amazes them. That amazes them. Why you keep coming here? Because they got their impressions made. But they still see something, you know. They still see things. Ministries. Preaching. Music. Teaching. Pastoring. Bulletin. That is a ministry, that bulletin. If anything puts me in jail, it'll be that bulletin. Because of the whole political thing. But whatever. Website. Nursing home, nursery, Little Lambs, Kids Club, Sunday School, home Bible studies, I call them Meals on Wheels, Spiritual Meals on Wheels, track work, educational assistance, taped sermons of the week. The other day I was kind of plunking around with some website churches, and here's the ministries a church lists on one of their websites. I got to looking at that thing. That's not impressive. We do all that. This pastor guy, in order to impress his people, divided up all the stuff and came up with these dumb little ministry titles. Baker's Dozen. Providing baked goods for other people. You're all part of that ministry. Floral. Floral design and maintenance. You're all part of that ministry. Y'all brought in flowers. Marcy and Mim, wherever Mim went here, y'all do flower arrangements. Y'all ladies, you get into flowers, so you're part of that ministry. You don't think you do anything at Touche Baptist Church? That's because I haven't put up this garbage to make you think you're involved. You're involved. God's Chosen Job, that's a ministry. Helping locating jobs for people in your church. I've been doing that. Jimbo Bimbo here didn't like what job I found him, that's all. I helped him. You know, hospitality teams, banquets, showers, and food. You do that when people are sick. Joseph Storehouse, providing resources for our ministry. LD, parking lot servants. I've given you tickets before when you suck your nose across the sidewalk. Remember that? I'm a parking lot ministry. I'm the minister of parking lots. You know, I'm out there pulling weeds and stuff. You know, and then Jack brings in that marvelous killing spray, you know. So Jack's kind of my co-associate parking lot minister, you know. Wedding ministry. Provide wedding plans. Yeah, we all do that. multimedia team. Tyler's done it. You've done it. You know. Now, this is funny. Clothes closet. It's a ministry. You ever given clothes to anybody else in the church? You're part of the clothes closet ministry. You want me to do it for you? Do you need to have a list of things to make you think you're important here? You are all involved in this church. You don't need that kind of garbage. Marina ministry. You know. I just got to think. We do all those things. And you just don't know it. Wake up. You'll get it. Come on, Danny. We'll get you. Here we go. We got 25 minutes to go. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. In this church, when people see us, or God looks on the outside, or other people look at us on the outside, what do they see? Now we're going to talk about you today. Because you are the family. What do they see? I don't mean in your lives. I'm talking about when they look at this church, what do they see in you? Are you with me on that? I'm no longer preaching to you personally in your personal garden. I'm preaching to you as a church family member. This is what you do when the dad's mad at all the kids. Get everybody together for dinner. Now listen to me, children. Here's the way things are going to be from now on. And you dads have done that, I think. Some of you have. I shouldn't have put it that way because I'm not doing this because I'm mad. I didn't mean to put it that way. I'm not mad at all. I think you've grown immensely. I've been through that. Don't forget that stuff. What about us? What is our outward testimony to other people? Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now we're going to go through a lot of scriptures this morning. I'm going to have you look up a few, then the rest you're just going to sit back and listen. I'm going to read some Bible to you this morning. Because you don't care what I think. That automatically turns, hopefully. Tell me, you don't care what I think. You have told me in the six years I've been here, most of the time you don't care what I think. You really don't care what I think. Now some of you have asked me what I thought about something. I told you, and you still didn't do it. That tells me you don't care what I think. Well, whatever. You know? Whatever. Now I was trying to tell some of the other day, you know being a Christian is more than book, chapter, verse? Bible believers get into this book, chapter, verse thing, and that's as far as they go. And if they can't find a book, chapter, verse on something, they'll do it. Book, chapter, verse. What comes after book, chapter, verse? Understanding. You know, you understand some things about what's right and wrong that there's not a book, chapter, verse for, but that book, chapter, verse has told you that that's wrong. And then along with that understanding, you got book, chapter, verse, understanding, and then comes wisdom. There's some wisdom that you can exhibit as a Christian that you cannot find book, chapter, verse for. And we got to get off of this book, chapter, verse thing sometimes because we can hinder our walk. See? But see, Pastor, you can't show me in that Bible where it says I can't do such and such, so I don't care what you think. I'll be the first to tell you that I'm not the best pastor in the world, but you know, eventually a pastor ought to be able to show a little understanding and preach a little wisdom and not be able to put a book, chapter, verse behind all of it. I'm not lifting myself up with smarts and wisdom. I'm just saying it's based in that Bible, and one of the things you're supposed to be able to do is submit to the Lord. You're supposed to be able to trust the Lord. You want to submit to your husband? You better be able to trust your husband. Submit to your pastor. Not at home. Here. What, don't you trust me? You got to trust me. I don't trust me. I don't blame you for not trusting me. But from this stage out, you got to trust me. You got to submit. For the church. Not for what is at home. I've had to learn that one too. What goes on in your home is none of my business unless you ask me. And I've come to realize it still ain't in my business because you didn't listen to me anyway. Now, there's some value for a preacher, pastor, was in your home situation too, but not like I'm not authoritative type stuff. If I can't be trusted, then that door's got to be for somebody. And my own heart, I apologize for why I can't be trusted. As your pastor, I know where I've let down this ministry. I know how, I know where, and I know when. Different things. I'm not stupid to what I see out there. But as your pastor, I also know how, where, when God's worked through me, through you. I know that. If I hadn't seen that, I'd have been the one out the door. I know my shortcomings, I know my weaknesses, I know my difficulties, I know better my strengths too. You know, I learned the other day that musicians have bigger brains that are more sensitive. That's a scientific conclusion. Bigger brain doesn't mean anything, just bigger. You know, you take a balloon and keep blowing up, you know, there's still nothing in it. But it's a bigger balloon than yours, and it says they're more sensitive. Suppose you have never noticed that, huh? I honestly can see why some of you folks have trouble trusting me. And when I read in the Bible on Wednesday nights, if you can't trust, you can't submit. You can't trust the Lord, you won't submit. You can't trust God, you won't submit to Him. You can't trust children, you can't trust your parents, you won't submit to Him. The whole thing, it's a huge authority ladder right there. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine. There goes the NyQuil. No striker, not greedy of filthy lucre. It's that clean lucre I like. Not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient. Not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. If a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now I know where I fall short in there. And I don't expect any more out of you than I could do out of that thing right there. That's my problem right there. I got to deal with that stuff every day. That's my problem. Let's go to Titus chapter 1. Verse 7. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Those are for me. You think God expects a lot out of you? Talk to me. I'm talking outside. Not talk to me outside. I'm talking about the outside. I don't talk to people outside because I'd get whumpered. I hang around people. If I have to have an argument with somebody, better be some people because otherwise I'll get in a fight and I'll get the whale knocked out of me. Amen. I'm talking about out here. That's important. People need to see that. I understand that. Let's go back to Timothy chapter 3. Back where we were a minute ago. I understand that. You pray for your pastor. Let's keep going down the ladder. We started at the top. We're going to work down. Look at verse 8. Whew. I made it through that one. That was me right there. What else did I want to say? Am I credible? How's my walk? Am I credible to you? Have you marked me? Marked the good? Marked the bad? How have you marked me? Marked me as a nut? As a novice? Don't you know what he's talking about? If that's how I marked, that's probably why we got problems. If I marked as a given, you know, whatever. How have you marked me? Well, I don't want to know that. I'm just asking. If I talk to you about parenting, if I talk to you about children, if I talk to you about teenagers, if I talk to you about music, if I talk to you about whatever I've done in my life, is it credible? See? Tough stuff. Tough for you. Because I know the image I portray. I know they give me a type of tray. So I said when I got here 6 years ago, if this thing goes, it's because of God. It ain't going to be me at all. And I know that to this day more than you know I know. Okay, let's get off of me. Here we go. Look at verse 8. Let's go down this ladder of authority. Likewise must the deacons. Getting into something here. We got some deacons here. Deacons, trustees, presidents, vice presidents, secretaries, call them what you want. We got some men in this church that are in an authoritative position as a deacon of such. Okay. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let there those be first proved, let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree, and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Who gets the pressure in churches? The pastor's wife. You know who's supposed to get the pressure in churches? The deacon's wives. You're the ladies that are under the microscope, not her, if your husband's a deacon. Ain't that something to think about? I know what some of you folks have said about my wife. What have you said about deacons' wives? I'm not spitting at you. I'm telling you, God wants us to clean up the outside. What people see, what we see on that outside, is what God's getting on us today. Let's keep going. Let's go to Titus again, chapter 2. Now I'll do my best to shut up and just read the scriptures to you, but it's going to be hard. Going down, we're going down from the pastor down to the deacons. Now we're going to go to the old men. Otherwise, the Bible calls them the aged men. Titus chapter 2, verse 2. That the aged men be sober, brave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Let's keep going to the aged women, going right down the ladder. The aged women likewise, I like that, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Aged ladies, is that what you're teaching our young girls here at this church? Our young ladies, have you had an opportunity to talk to any young lady in our church and teach them these things right here? Let me talk to the young ladies in the church. Have any older, aged ladies talked to you about this stuff? Let me ask. Let me get even harder here. Have the older ladies shown you that stuff? You can tell them all you want, but you're supposed to show it. Show it, folks. Show it. Aged ladies, show those younger ladies what's right. Younger ladies, look at the aged ladies for the example. Aged ladies, have you been the example you're supposed to be? I don't know. Verse 5 would scare me to death if I was a lady. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. I'd find me a Bible version that changed that verse right here where it says that the word of God be not blasphemed. I'll tell you what, ladies, aged ladies, I'm not just talking the old grannies. I'm talking aged ladies. Is your example that stuff right there? Discreet, chaste, loving your husbands, sober, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. If you are not, you are an example of blaspheming the word of God to those young ladies. And I don't care what you think. I wasn't going to preach this morning. I don't care what you think about that. That's what other people see in our family. They see us not being what we're supposed to be. Gee, preacher, are you grumpy or what? No. I've never had the backing of God as much confidence as I have this morning. How are you deacons doing? Are you deaconing right? Well, before you get on me, preacher, how you doing? It's none of your stinking business.
That's right. Amen.
I'm having a hard time. You have a hard time like I'm having a hard time. It's hard to be a Christian today. I'm tired of people wanting to have it easy. I'm tired of your stubbornness. I'm tired of my stubbornness. I'm tired of stubbornness. We know what's right. I've only been here 6 years, and you know what's right since I've been here. So what's the problem? Why do you still do what you do? Why do I still do what I do? I must not be giving it over to the Lord enough. I must not be submitting enough. You ladies think you got it so tough submitting to your husband. Men, how you doing with submission? Yeah. It's just as hard. So ladies, back off. He's got enough problems without you being one. He didn't marry you for a mule. He married you for a horse, amen? I don't know why I was looking at Goldie when I said that, but just LD looks over like, whoa, okay, you know. Let's keep going. Forget the clock. Let's keep going here. Let's go to Lamentations, right after Jeremiah. I'll be honest with you. I was right over here with Genesis, Exodus, Lamentations. That's not right. That's Leviticus. Let's get to Lamentations. Okay, Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 2. Now we're going to look at the parents. Parents, how are we doing? What do they see out here when they look at you parents? Lamentations chapter 2, verse 19. Odd verse. I got to preach, I guess, because I don't think you'll get it here. Verse 20, 19. Arise, cry out in the night, parents. In the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands toward him for the life of thy young children. You know what parents do today? They pray, they cry out, and they raise their hands to the Lord for themselves. They don't care about their children like they used to. They're selfish. We're supposed to be crying out for the life of our children. Your children are more important than that television or all that list of stuff. They're more important than what you want, mom or dad. What's important is what God wants them to have. And I'd be willing to bet you what you got for them isn't what God wants for them. How can you say such a thing? Because we live in America. Go into their room. If you can find it, look at that stuff. Bill's been waiting for a burn. I wonder if it is because we're supposed to put some toys in there too. Big toys. Any guns, come to my office. Look at verse 20, by the way. This bunny trail just for a second, we're going to be here a while. Behold, O Lord, and consider to whom thou hast done this. Shall the women eat their fruit and children of a span long? This is the tribulation. This is serious stuff. Those little critters that are a span long, they eat them. Are you presenting your children to the devil so he can eat them? Before the tribulation? Parents, you ought to never let your kids out of your sight anymore. It's just getting that way, isn't it? It's just getting that way. You can trust your children. No, you can't. But you got sin dwelling in you, and that sin can come out and it can destroy you this week. It can destroy any of us this week. You two back there, you've had a hard start. Devil can destroy that thing faster than you can. But you can get the best victory than anybody in this town has ever had. Just as easily. It can be done. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. We've got to move this quick here. Verse 14. Behold, the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. That's the verse that tells me we're supposed to be taking care of them. They ain't supposed to be taking care of us. What we're supposed to be concerned about is what we give them, how we take care of our children. Here's another one. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How you doing? See? We're looking this morning about the outside. What do people see when they look at Touche Baptist Church? They ought to see parents that care for their children. They ought to see a different type of lifestyle for those children because they don't do that. What do you mean your kid can't come over without you coming? I just don't trust the sin that dwelleth within my child. That's all. No big deal. You know? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from the heart from all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons. This is good. And thy sons' sons. We still got a ministry. Paul, Luke, and Stephen. We're supposed to teach to those kids what we've seen God do in our lives. Marilyn, you've got some grandkids that you need to show them. I know this is dangerous. Need to show them what God's done for you. Not what the radio has done and not what Jack Mars has done, but that Bible's done for you, those children. Needs to keep hearing that stuff. It's hard. Cheyenne and those other two and you know. Who are they? Blake, Brittany. There we go. Keep trying. But it says to show what you've seen in that book. That's what they need to hear. Okay? Man, here we go. Now, near as I can tell, y'all got the approval this morning that you're a man. Your wives gave you the approval because you were in the prayer meeting. That's good. I was glad to hear that. You're a little slow. It must have been a long argument. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. People see that? Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. Do they see you having bitterness towards your wife? Well, pastor, it's like this. No, that's what they see. That's what they see. I don't care if it's a good, that's what they see. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man hath yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Ladies, he wants to treat you honorably. He doesn't want to let you go out there and get eaten by the wolves. If you guys would marry your wife before they went to school, you wouldn't let them go off to college. Because you know that college will destroy them. But you marry them after they've been there. That's dumb. Yeah. Unless your wife is willing to let that education go down the toilet, your marriage is over. You can live forever. How's that go? Forever and ever. But it won't be happily. Let's do this one for the men. Servants. Workers. You got a job? This is for you. This is what, boy, they look at you up for that. You guys work out there in the public out there? Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. That guy standing there is Christ in your eyes. Obedient. That's tough. As unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, as men serve as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With goodwill doing service to the Lord and not to men. Somebody tells you something rotten to do, praise God and go do it. And that is the testimony they'll see. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. Wow. Obey that crummy federal fireman up there and God will give you that obedience reward and the whole thing. Whew, that's tough. Unless he tells you to run into that fire, that's... we get into that thing in Romans chapter 13 about this authority thing. Now, Captain, I think this is where you and I part. That'd be rough. But that's all right. Here's some more about the servants. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. You don't like this stuff, Louie. And to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. That's being a servant. Let as many servants are under the yoke, count their own masters worthy of all honor. You know, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. There you go, man. You think, you know, you're making your wife blaspheme by all that stuff? There's your way of blaspheming right there. Is your boss. If you don't like it, get to be an independent locksmith. Then your own boss. Good stuff. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot one. And ye masters, do the same things unto them. Forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. God doesn't forget the boss man there. That verse right there should say, Louis, Jerry. You got people under you, Bill? There you go. You know, Jimmy? Jimmy! You know? I'm scanning the crowd. See? God doesn't forget you how to be a boss, too. But Arrow and anybody else that's working underneath somebody, you don't have the right to judge how your boss is bossing either. And the only reason I'm saying that stuff is that's what they see out there. Remember, that's what I'm after this morning. I'm not picking at you. I'm not picking at me. I'm saying God wants people out there to see these things cleaned up. And then we will really be different. You think we're different now to them. Wait till they actually see you folks doing what you believe. They won't even let you come down to Oklahoma next year. That's probably why they don't talk to you now. You guys, you do have a good testimony in your family down there. But they don't like it. So stay here and put the money in the plate. Man, that's, you know. Let's keep going. We're not that late. We've been worse. Young man, let's pick on the young man in here. Young man, likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Now, when you get older, some of that gravity becomes automatic. But when you're young, you got to work at it. Sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed. Tyler, it's your friends that need to be ashamed, not you. Sam and Austin and Errol, you're still a young man. John, someday. LD, you know. They're supposed to be the ones ashamed because you talk so clean. You stay clean long enough, somebody's going to realize they're the ones that are dirty and they'll feel bad when it slips and they'll apologize to you. Isn't that wild? There it is right there. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. That's how hard it is to keep from getting angry. Whew. Man, how you doing, man? What does the world see out there in you as a Christian man? What do they see? I know what you got on the inside, because I got it too. But what does God see on the outside? What do those neighbors see on the outside? What does your family see on the outside? Here we go. Where's that watch? I probably need to check this one out. Ladies! I can relax during this one. Yeah, right. Ladies, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with parted hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence without subjection. You know the verse. How great a price is it? Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Still on? But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to assert authority over the man, but to be in silence. that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into all those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. She's a walking arthritis pill. Or she's a crown. Ladies, heads bowed, eyes closed, how we doing? I'm not going after you personally, but that's what people need to see out there. That's what they need to see in you ladies. You with me? Here we go. Men and ladies, all of us now. Let's take the whole barn here. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. That's not a difficult thing. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonors her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. That tells me it's not the little doilies. Because you don't shave doilies. If anybody asks you about that, it's not little doilies and beanies. I'm talking hair. For man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image of the glory of God. That's why they used to take the hats off inside buildings, men. Really? That's why the ladies didn't. They thought that was what it was talking about. How many things did you miss because you sat behind a lady with a huge hat when you were younger? Pheasants and geese sticking up all over the place, you know? Forget that movie. Ma'am, can you take off that hat? No. Are you kidding? It's like asking them their age. You know? And what do you got in your cupboards when you go home? Huge little round boxes all over those. Remember those days? They tried. America tried in those days to be right, but they were kind of dingy. Now the guys, not only do they leave their hat on, they don't even know how to wear it. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. You get that? But the woman is the glory of the man, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was a man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. This is what we see up here. It's a testimony up here. The world that's out there, they see a biblical testimony or they see a false testimony. God wants them to see that. It wouldn't be in here. Keep going. For this cause, the fact that man was not created for the woman, but the woman for the man, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither is the woman without the man in the Lord. For the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is glory to her. For her hair is given her for a covering. But don't forget, if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom. There's no fight that comes out of that thing. That's just a testimony. You don't fight over testimonies. That's a testimony. What do they see when they see our body of Christ, right? What do they see when they see you? Is it the right testimony or is it the wrong? That's all. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. And it doesn't say what era. Don't wear what men wear. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. I've never wanted to put one of those things on. I don't get it. Nylons, not interested. For all that do so are an abomination unto... Boy, am I glad I'm clean on the inside, amen? But he still wants... Why would he tell us that if it isn't important on the outside? Now, I'll never do this. I talk about it. I'll never do it. I just don't have the guts. And I don't have the legs. Someday, I need to come to church here and wear a dress. I have. That's right, in Las Vegas, wasn't it? That look on your face just did me in, because I just remembered that. Whew, flashback of hell. You know? Did I do all that stuff? That when you wear dresses, did I do all that other stuff? Is there a picture of this anywhere? Okay, the old ladies, you're off the hook. Go ahead. Your pastor cannot stand up here and say he never wore a dress. Whew, that, man. I sure hope I had a slip on. Thomas sits back there and he says to me many times while he's been here, you get away with stuff that you would never get away with anywhere else. You know? Now, I don't care. I do care. But it's none of my business to care. Your testimony, ladies or men, is it the right testimony? That's all that's about. Well, now I guess I can wear one and get away with it, huh? Okay. You tell me no, then why do you do the other half? What's the difference? Why can't I wear a dress? I've seen some pretty ones in the store. I've got t-shirts with a low V, if that's important to anybody. I can even cut off the sleeves and show you my pits if I want. Ladies, you have shown people your armpits. You have shown things that are connected to those armpits. You ought not be doing that. That's a testimony out there that we don't believe this Bible for what it says. They don't know what's going on the inside. They only know what they see on the outside. The more you show them of the world, the less they don't believe you spiritually. Children, children, hear me up, children. Shoni, here, give me about 2 minutes, Shoni. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Is that what they see out here? Do those people out there see a church that has obedient children to the parents? They need to see that. They really do. If there's anything they need to see in this day and age, is obedient children. And I don't mean because you take them out, no daddy, no daddy, no daddy. I mean just obedience to their parents. Let me say it, and I'll say it probably again. This is not a training camp. You train your children at home and bring them here and let them show off their training. Don't only train them here and let them loose all week long. Something's wrong if you're still spanking after a while. Young people, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Do they see that out there, young people? You'll see that they don't. But they better see it in you. Amen. Say, it's not my problem. It's not my business. Till I come, give attendance to what? Young people. Reading. To exhortation. To doctrine. That's what you're supposed to be learning. And they need to see you learning that stuff. I'm not getting at you individually. I'm telling you this morning, that's the testimony we're supposed to be giving to people. That's all. If you want to read some of that garbage you get, if you want to read some of that garbage you get from other Christian ladies, it's not my business. But they don't need to see you reading that garbage. So how do people not see you reading garbage? Don't read garbage. What if it's a good book about the book? you read your Bible, you're going to find out that 99% of that stuff that people want you to read isn't all right. It is amazing what ladies are giving out to other men. Give out stuff, doctrinal stuff, you know, how to be the better man. I don't get any of that. You can't have stuff from anybody. Jimmy, is it? You don't get that stuff. Man, read your Bible. You ladies are being swamped with books about how to be a good married woman and how to love your husband. And oh, man, that stuff is garbage. How do you know? How do you know that? How do you know that? She's read some of them. Somebody gave one the other day. I was even amazed at how garbage it was. I was amazed where it came from. I'm not disappointed anymore. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. Nothing surprises me anymore, I guess. Just read your Bible, ma'am. You used to be a Bible reader. What happened? Last one. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Believe it or not, we're done. Sort of. Don't forget, I started off at the top here. Don't forget that. This pastor got preached that today, big time. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. This is for all of us here. Nah, we're not done yet. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I have no problem the fact that I am blameless and harmless on the inside. I have no difficulty with that. We're covered. We're clean. We're under His blood every second that we're breathing. And I am so thankful for that. I see some clues in there. Do things without murmurings and disputings. We're already on the outside. I mean, you can murmur and dispute on the inside, and you probably do. You probably are. That ye may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. Has God ever rebuked you in privately in your Bible reading? What's it for? It's for something you did. He's not going to rebuke you for what He made you to be. You're clean on the inside. He'll never rebuke you for that. You hearing that this morning? He must be rebuking us for something we did. He must be rebuking us for something we had our wife do. He must be rebuking us for something our children did. He must be rebuking us for something we didn't do. All those things I read to you this morning. I pray that God's rebuked you this morning for some of the things that you got going on. Not because I want you to get rebuked, because He's telling me, Pastor, yes, believe it or not, that's you. Yes, you're right. I am hard up for pastors. But you're who I got. Listen to me. It's time to clean up the testimony of this church. You with me? I'm hardly with me. But you with me? He wants us to be lights. Visual. Even with my glasses off, I can tell a light. Whew. I can't tell you who made it, but I can tell you that it's a light. I wake up in the middle of the night, but don't have my glasses on. Doesn't take me long to realize it's still night or it's time to get up. There's a light problem. It's visual. He may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God we are. Without rebuke, that brings it up in the outside. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Boy, are we crooked and perverse or what out there? Whew. Among whom He shined His lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain outside again. That pastor that preached that thing doesn't want to have done it for nothing. And you don't want to be a father for nothing. You don't want to be a wife in vain. You don't want to be a grandpa and grandma in vain. Because if that's the case, let's go party. What's the point of trying? I don't want to be a pastor in vain. Let's go shoot. Let's go over to such and such's house and let's see if we can't just be an encouragement to him. Last time I went there, I think I made things worse. I think I'll go shooting. You know how many times that goes through this little musician's brain? It happens. That happens. Let's preach this message. Now let's do one that's really easy and get out of here. Let's cancel church tonight because I'd rather work on the building. Let's get the men to come in and we'll paint instead of having church tonight. Can't get them here any other way. That prayer thing this morning. What do you have in there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Wednesday night. 1, 2, 3, 4, I think. This may be 5. I might have missed. I don't know. 11 down to 5 on Wednesday nights. That's why some things are happening. Sunday night. 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5, 6, 7. That's better. Amen. But that's not 11 or 10. Now, Pastor, you just preached last week. 1 out of 10 is a great percentage. I don't play that game. I haven't taken those exegesis classes or whatever. I haven't taken those church polity classes or whatever. I want y'all to be golden vessels. I'm not satisfied with one golden vessel. I'm not satisfied. Who are you to be satisfied? A pastor. You know? Jimmy's taken off for the fire. He can take his Bible with him and he will. Do what you got to do to be the man. Chuck works as Sears. Can't come every Wednesday night. Do what you got to do. Mike, the penitentiary. Carl, Farman. Aaron, when he's allowed. Louie, when he's not too busy. Bill, when he's got time, he's not hurting and dying and all that stuff. Jerry, when he's not working. Lewis is here in pain every time. LD was Goldie every time. That's what the people need to see out there. And don't stare at me with that hateful look. Man, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't you give me that look after what you have done to these church people and to the Lord. That's a door right there that needs to be walked out of. I didn't write this thing. You're the one rejecting it. Don't put that on me, boy. I'll forget I am a pastor. Now, this morning, we're not preaching on the inside. We're preaching about the outside. We're talking about our walk. Do people see Christ in us? You know, they need to see Christ on us, too. They do. They do. And like I said earlier, I'm not turning down the screws to make it even harder to be a Christian here now. If you take this wrong, you'll be more miserable than you've ever been. You'll be more frustrated than you've ever been. It's got to come from that Christ that's in you. That's where it's got to come from. Don't for a second do it for me. Don't do it for me. Remember Lamentations? Do it for your children if you still got any. Don't have any children? Do it for God. Do it for you. There's nothing neater than doing right. You ever had a victory? Oh, aren't those marvelous? You know. What brought this on anyway? I mean, how'd this seed get started? Right here. It's a Bible correspondence course. I thought this was a good idea for you, man. Thing came in the mail finally. I was excited. I noticed in the first year, all the courses they take, we've been down that road. I was thrilled. I've been trained how to do this thing. What else you got? Exegesis and what are some other things? Hermeneutics? You had to take in all that cemetery stuff? For me to find out as a pastor that everything they teach in that first year we did here, that was really encouraging. Then I got to reading the rules of conduct here. Rules of conduct? Yeah. They do this all over the country except in the Northwest. Everybody's got standards out there. That's what God's telling us. Pastor, lift up that standard a little bit. Let's do some outside visual growing. Number one, I read this thing. That takes care of half of them right there. number one, you can't take this course if you're going to go, hey, that's me. You can't take this course unless you're a liar. And we all know, well, you take the course, I guess. You know, unless you got some kind of integrity in you. Each student must abstain from the use of tobacco in any form, alcoholic drinks, and illegal drugs. This is a male correspondence course. You got integrity, you can't do it. No student can be involved in any subversive activities against the United States government. Students may not, hey, it gets harder. Students may not attend worldly entertainment like rock, country, western, bluegrass, I'll throw that in, theaters or dances. It's a good thing they didn't say movies. Just says you can't go down to the theater. I can still have them in my house. What's these guys got against the theater? Or dancing? Or a burning weed? Or taking a little swig of something? Or just a little drug that I didn't get permission to have? What does he care? Because he just knows there's a testimony there. He knows there's a spirit that's going to be quenched in these things. You can take the Bible correspondence course. Don't worry about it. You're clean. He'll never know. It's just a man in the where's he at? North Carolina, I think. And he's a former Marine. He ought to know that you can't do everything perfect. It's none of his business anyway. All ministerial students must be involved in regular church visitation. Well, our pastor don't do that. Maybe our pastor ought to start doing that. I haven't gone visiting because I don't know who to take with me. I don't want to take her. She doesn't need to know people's problems. She's having a hard enough time with me. I'd like to take another man with me. Let's go visit a couple guys. There's a guy downtown in Walla Walla that wrote and asked me for a Bible. I just remember him a couple days ago. I can go see that guy. Well, I may have my gun in my pocket. I want another guy in that neighborhood. You know. Well, go down the list. Who can I have? No. Well, once in a while. You know, he's got so much for visitation. Says here, all students must be involved in a street preaching program. Does singing count? Sure it would. Used to take the ladies out there all the time in LD. No offense, LD. And we quit doing it. I wanted them in. You came a couple times at Whitman, and you couldn't get over what went on. You came one time, and somebody drove by that you knew, right? And you just get, oh, man. You've been down there with us before. Never have, I don't think yet. You go down on the streets, boy. You go on visitation. What are you going to show them? Not what you're going to sit there and tell them. We're almost done. Hang in there, little guys. What are you going to show them when you go into that house? See? Because they're going to, you know they're going to come up with a question that you're going to say, well, mine does. Yeah, I guess I can't say anything about that in the Bible. You want to be in that kind of position? Maybe God hasn't let us do a visitation program. You know what I'm saying? Do I need to get more specific? What if you're sitting down to the man and his wife, and he says, and the wife says, oh, honey, I wish I could just be with my kids. And then you stand there and you go, well, the Bible does say, yeah, well, I can't, well, okay. Kill that testimony right out the L window. Is that what you want? Maybe God doesn't let me have a visitation program. Am I perfect? No. Are you perfect? No. We can get better. God showed me something that in the middle of a sermon a couple weeks ago. Remember? Silver vessel. King James almost, guys. Silver vessel. Then it just clicked. Whoa. King James only can be over there, has to be over there too. Because they got some problems on the outside. A golden vessel is a guy that slaps that little Christian right on that wheel and he spins that little critter. And not only do you have the book, you get the walk. And then you've got a golden testimony. That's what I want out of this church. I'm not going to be happy with one or two or three. I want 11. I want 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11, 12, old enough, 13, 14, Jack and Jan. Who else? typical 15, you know. Anybody else? Who am I missing? Who am I missing? 16? Sam and Tina? 17? 18? Ooh. Only God can do that. Don't let me get in your way. Don't let me get in your way. For the work of the ministry. Ephesians 4:12. For the work of the ministry. Where do you start? Where do you start? Men, where do you start? Right there. Women, where do you start? Right there. Kids, where do you start? Right there. Pastor, where do you start? Right here. Oh, but we're talking about the outside. Men, where do you start? Family. You showing your children on the outside that you're what you're supposed to be? Pastor, where do you start? Right here. No Sunday school next week. We're talking no Sunday school next week. Breakfast, 9 o'clock. Church, 10 o'clock. I got a special thing set up for next Sunday. I'll preach about it next Sunday. You mean you're actually going to do something? You're not just going to talk about it? No. I got a church. I got a ministry. I got a list of ministries. I got a Sunday school. I got men I'm supposed to preach at and take care of as a pastor. I got families. I got ladies. I'm starting right here. Let's take your songbook. Let's turn to 246, if you wouldn't. If you would, please. No Jeremiah tonight. Which is a bummer because Chuck's got the time off. But there's things happening. 246, if you would, please. And then we'll dismiss. Now, I don't do this very much. We're going to do it again. Now, here's my thing. I don't do invitations very much. Remember when Peacock was coming? I knew what was going to happen. And I knew that everybody's going to go bonkers at the altar when Peacock gets here. He's going to just tear it to shreds. You're going to come up here and just cry and let her rip. And you're going to go back in 2 or 3 weeks. You're going to be your same old person again. I just wasn't thrilled about that. I have been in so many invitations in my life at a big church. You'll see it, boy. You will see it. I'm not knocking people to go to the altar. I'm just knocking it when you do it all the time. It just doesn't fit. It's a Baptist tradition. But when it's not tradition, this is where you go. Why? Outward. It's a testimony. You're going to come up here if you got the gut, and you're going to say, Lord, that hurt. That embarrassed me. I'm a musician. I can't go up. Put the guitar, put the organ down. I quit playing the piano before, up there back in New York. I'd go up there crying and get down and pray. There'd be no music. And old George would go, what is going on here? Well, I'm sorry, but God is more important right now than George. Now, let me not disrespectfully. I just had to get some things going. You know. Man, you got clobbered today. Whew. Things I've been afraid to preach on came out today. Things that you don't want to deal with because you don't want to deal with the outside got preached on today. But it wasn't for me. We went long, real long today. But I don't think you care. I think you realize there is something to this outside. Maybe that's why some of our kids are a little bit challenging. Maybe they don't see what they need to see from us parents. You know? Let's sing this song here a little bit. Look at the words. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. I want to live above the world. Where does a fruit come out in the garden? Think about it. Seeds down in the ground. The water goes down in the ground. Where does the fruit grow? Out of the ground. See? I want to live above the world. Though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me onto higher ground. Oh yeah, he's going to take us away someday. No doubt in my mind whatsoever. Rapture's going to come. You're going to die. Something's going to happen. You're going to go to higher ground. But let's not be satisfied down here. Let's go up a step or two or three or four in your personal walk. Why? Because God wants his local church to shine. And it's only going to shine as much as you got battery. And it's him that's your battery. I challenge you this morning. I'm challenged. So if I'm going to be challenged, so are you. I'm pressing on.